The Unmourned, Book 2 in the Montserrat series. Written by Meg and Tom Keneally and read by Paul English.
Now you're mocking me, I swear it. It simply cannot be possible. You're having a laugh at a poor woman's expense.
Hugh Llewellyn Montserrat braced himself. The effort wasn't wasted. A second later, the corner of a rolled-up cleaning towel, Mrs. Mulrooney's answer to a whip, connected with his temple.
I assure you, dear lady, it's simply the way the English language works. The king himself has to follow these rules, whether they be logical or not.
Well, I assure you that this is not a language I can take seriously. And I'll hear no more sniffing from your good self about Irish spelling and pronunciation, thank you. Any language that lets the sea get away with so much mischief has a lot to answer for. You'd have me believe it makes two different sounds in the same word. It needs to make up its mind, so it does. Circle should start with an S, and that's the end of it.
This was by no means the first pitched battle Montserrat had engaged in with his housekeeper over the irrational nature of the English language. The tiny kitchen had seen many of them, heard her small, calloused fist bounce in frustration off the overscrubbed table. Mrs. Mulrooney insisted, for example, on spelling war with two O's, like door.
Otherwise you'd say it as war, like far, wouldn't you?
She asked, although Montserrat had no reason to believe she was actually interested in his opinion on the matter. She would threaten, on occasion, to abandon the whole exercise, but Montserrat knew she wouldn't. Her admission into the world of readers had been at the request of her previous mistress, the late Honora Shelbourne, for whose murder he suspected Mrs. Mulrooney still wept and said nightly rosaries. But for all her complaining, Mrs. Mulrooney's progress was exceptional. She had been Montserrat's student for little more than a month, and she was already writing the letters to her son that he used to write for her. If the boy noticed that the letters came with a few less flourishes and a few more ink blotches than they used to, Montserrat felt sure he wouldn't mind. This morning, though, he perceived they'd probably come as far as they could. She needed, perhaps, a day or so to adjust to a world in which the letter C could shimmer and change in such a maddening fashion. He stood and gathered the pens, the paper, the small slate on which she had started forming her first letters with a stylus, made redundant by her quick grasp of the language, except those parts she felt had no right to stand, as they made no sense. "May I trouble you, Mrs. Mulrooney, for some tea before I go?" She snorted, exasperated that he felt the need to make such an obvious request.
"I'll bring it to the parlour, so. Out with you now. Out, out, out."
Strictly speaking, of course, Mrs. Mulrooney had no right to order Montserrat out of the kitchen. It was his, after all, a fact he still found miraculous when barely a few months previously his possessions had added up to 2 threadbare waistcoats, one eternally ruined by a smear of red dust, a thinning black coat, and an inkpot.